On this, the second Sunday of Great Lent, we celebrate and commemorate the holy Gregory of Palamas. Gregory was a bright and intelligent young man. He was the son of a courtier of the emperor, the Byzantine emperor, and his father died when he was young. The emperor, out of, I think, love and respect for his father, and also because he realized this is a bright young man, personally saw to Gregory's education. So Gregory had pretty much the best education you could possibly get in the ancient Byzantine world. However, did not go into the civil service as the emperor was hoping that he would. At about the age of 20, he decided he wanted to become a monk. And so he went and he became a monastic, and through that got exposure to and training in the hesychastic way. The monks, at this point in time, there was a movement among monks towards silence, towards silent contemplation. And the silent contemplation and the recital of the Jesus Prayer was focused entirely on seeking God, seeking a vision of the uncreated light, seeking that experience of God, which is to be our ultimate goal in all of our life. And Gregory was one of these hesychastic monks. And this hesychastic movement came under attack. There was also around this time a very learned man named Barlaam. He came from southern Italy. He was also well educated, well trained. He wrote a attack on the Catholics and their omission of, their inclusion of the filioque, and he based his attack on the idea that God was ultimately unknowable. He had a number of bases for this belief. You just have to listen to the liturgy, and it talks about God being immeasurable, inconceivable, invisible, incomprehensible, and so there is definitely, that is definitely a part of the Orthodox teaching, that God is unknowable. But he also based his reasoning on Greek philosophy, that God is sort of ultimately transcendent, and we can't possibly, because of this, we can't possibly know him. And implied in this attack was a criticism of the monks, the hesychastic monks, because they were seeking the knowledge of God. They were seeking the experience of God. And Barlaam was, you know, his writings were obviously contradistinction to this. And so the monks looked around and they had this learned young monk in their midst, or not quite so young now, and so they asked Gregory to draft a response, and Gregory did. He began his response with sort of a conversation between himself and Barlaam. He obviously agreed with Barlaam that the filioque should really not be in the creed, but he pointed out that if you follow Barlaam's argument to the logical conclusion, then God is ultimately unknowable, and he there is no interaction or accessibility with God that is possible. This is a problem for our faith, because the Christian faith actually assumes, unlike Greek philosophy, it assumes that God is knowable, that God is, yes, he's transcendent, but he's also immanent. He is intimately involved in and among us. He's not this, as I've often said, not this sort of Newtonian Newtonian God who winds up this creates and winds up this clockwork universe and then just sits back and like, watches it run. No, he's a meddling God. You just read the Old Testament. He's always in and dealing with his people. And Gregory, in his attempt to correct the teachings of Balaam, drew upon all of his great learning, and the debate was framed in philosophical terms. If you read it, it actually sounds a little bit like Saint Augustine, and because Saint Augustine is going back himself to Aristotle as Balaam was. And Gregory's basic distinction that he makes is between the energies of God and the essence of God. And again, we have to get a little bit into Greek philosophy. If you want to talk about the essence of something, that's the thing that makes it what it is. So you could talk about, I don't know, the essence of chair. And there is something that is essential to all chairs, that all chairs have in common. And so there's a chair there, and this bench, this pew, may in some ways partake of the essence of chair, but it is not itself a chair. And so you can get really deep into it. But basically, what Gregory says is, God in his essence is indeed unknowable. Just as we can never fully know the essence of chair, we can see the attributes and we can describe the different chairs in terms of their attributes. You know, that one doesn't have any arms. There's some nice comfy armchairs back there, elsewhere in the house, the pew is somewhat like a chair, but not exactly. But we can never quite get at. We can never fully describe the chair in its essence. Maybe a better illustration would be human beings. When we get to know someone, how do we know them? How do we know who they really are inside? I mean, we can talk about their words. We know them through what they say. We can talk about their actions. We know them through what they do. And this is where Gregory brings in the idea of the energies of God, the energia, the work of God. We know God through his energies, through his work, through his energia. And just as we know one another by our works, by what we do, and by what we say, but more than that, by what we do. And so Gregory pointed out in his works that God, yes, God is unknowable in his essence, in that center part of his being, that core of his being, that makes him who he is, but he is knowable in his energies. He is knowable in his works. And Gregory won the day. But that's making the story a little too simple, because it was not a foregone conclusion. As I say, Balaam was also very learned, and there were a number of councils that took place, which we, as Orthodox Christians, sometimes refer to as the Ninth Ecumenical Council, because ultimately this council that vindicated Gregory and his teachings and the hesychastic monks and their practices was accepted everywhere in the Orthodox Church. But even that took time. So Gregory, being the holy man that he was raised to the episcopate. He was made bishop of Thessaloniki, or Thessalonica, depending whether you're Greek or English. But many of his parishioners were aware of the controversy and didn't necessarily like or connect with Gregory. And so I was laughing a little bit mentally when I heard the hymn of the day talking about Gregory as the glory of Thessalonica. Well, he was basically driven out of Thessalonica by his own parishioners who didn't really like him. And he died not long after that, and his last words were, "To the heights, to the heights." Just as a big fan of C.S. Lewis, always makes me think of further up and further in. So I want to us to, as we're thinking on the life of St. Gregory Palamas, to take away a few things from it. I would say the first thing that we should maybe take away from it is, in God's providence, nothing is wasted. In God's providence, every gift that He gives us will ultimately be required of us. So, as a young man, Gregory could very well, you know, and especially as a young monastic, Gregory could very well have been looking back on, you know, all those years of education as, yeah, what a waste. I did all that homework, wrote all those essays, and, you know, what do I have to show for it? What use is that to me now? Now I'm just meditating and seeking God and seeking to know God. And this is much more important. This is much more essential. But in fact, God was already preparing Gregory for the work that he would have to do. He was giving him the gifts and the talents and developing those gifts and talents in preparation for this task that Gregory had to do, which was a hard task. Maybe the second takeaway is that if we choose to do what is right, we should not simply expect to be rewarded and commended and praised for doing what is right. Quite the opposite, in fact. You know, if we're really serious about following Jesus and choosing to do what's right, we can anticipate difficulty, challenges, slander. Gregory was roundly slandered by his opponents. Misunderstanding, misjudgment. And that cannot deter us from doing the right thing. We have to keep doing it. Because this is the work that God has prepared us to do. This is the work that He has given us to do. And if we know this is what God's given me to do, I need to do this good thing, then we have to stay the course. We have to follow the example of St. Gregory of Palamas and pretty much all the saints into suffering. Because the work of God is hard, but it is essential for our salvation and for the salvation of those around us. And finally, I would say, Orthodox theology is entirely practical. We don't usually think of theology as practical. We usually think, oh, you know, that's for the great theologians. You know, they can go and sit in their ivory towers and write great treatises and drink great things. Or maybe we think about it more in Orthodox terms as the monks who are praying and they're the ones who are doing the real work of theology. In fact, theology concerns all of us. This was, in its essence, a debate about Trinitarian theology, about the nature of God. And if God is ultimately unknowable, as Barlaam was suggesting that he is, then all of this seeking after an experience of God is in vain, useless, chasing after the wind. Why would we do it? But Gregory makes the distinction, using the tools at his disposal, using you know, Greek philosophical terms, but the basic distinction is that we can and always have, as followers of Jesus Christ, encounters with God. Because God is knowable in his energies, in his works. And so it is entirely worthwhile. It is, in fact, it should be, in fact, our primary focus to experience God, to encounter God, to see his work in all things, and thus see him in all things. This is what we are called to do. Yes, there is still this great mystery. God, we will never fully comprehend God. He is ultimately, in his essence, unknowable, indescribable. But he makes himself known because he loves us. This is why it was through his energies that we were created. He worked. He spoke. And the universe was brought into existence. It is for this reason that he is not this hands-off Newtonian clockwork universe God. No, he's a meddling God because he loves us. He wants us to know him. And Orthodox theology is essential, practical, and ultimately descriptive. Because what Gregory was doing with the tools at his disposal was simply re-articulating the experience of the followers of Jesus Christ and the followers of the one true God down through the centuries, down through the millennia. As we seek him, so we find him. If we seek him with all of our hearts, he is wanting us, wanting to be known by us, wanting to reveal himself to us, and to work in us and with us and through us. And so, as we consider the example of our Holy Father Gregory of Palamas this Lent, we need to be on the lookout for how we can use all that God has given to us in the past, all that he has made us in our life past, all of the talents that he has given to us. We need to look for opportunities to use those. We need to be prepared for trials, for tribulation, for ingratitude, and not let that deter us in any way from doing what we know is right. And above all, we must seek God in all, because that is what he made us to be.